Last week, we covered Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Give me a thumbs up when you're there. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And I received some feedback during the week that said, wish you'd have gone a little deeper. That is such a monumental topic, so very important, that we shouldn't treat it lightly, and nor did I ever intend to treat it lightly. It literally says, holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So wouldn't it be nice to know a little more about what holiness means? Okay, the word holiness is the Greek word hagiasmon, spell it H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-N. Or if you brought the handout that I sent out yesterday, you can just point to it and go, there it is. Greek word 38, it means consecration or purification, meaning set apart for God. Consecration and purification are ways to describe holiness. The process to get us there is called sanctification. Sanctification is the process of cleaning the sin out of our lives. Of course, you know, the minute you were saved, all sin was wiped out and you never sinned again, right? Nah, when you're first saved, according to Hebrews, you're like a baby. And babies fall down, they make mistakes, they stink, you know, all those things about babies that if you don't know, you soon will. So what can we learn from the verses that are about holiness? The first point is, holiness requires us to keep the Lord's commandments. Turn back to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, or if you have your hand out, you don't have to turn, you can just go, I'm already there. Numbers chapter 15, verses 39 to 40, read this way. And you shall have the tassel, that's the tzitzit, that's these fringes upon the corner of the prayer garment. What do they represent, you guys remember? The commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, the Torah, or the law, and they're tied in such a way as to represent four Hebrew letters, Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is the name of the Lord. It hangs across the thigh. So it says, you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and what? And do them. And that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. Holiness is the noun. Holy is the adjective. It's the two forms of the same word. So to be holy for your God says, remember and do all my commandments. If you remember Matthew 15 and Mark 7, is it okay to just pick and choose? We'll follow a few commandments. How about we just change the ones we don't like? I'll change, I don't know, thou shalt not steal to thou shalt not eat broccoli. You think God would be okay because it's the same number? Of course not. Then turn to Exodus 31. Exodus 31 is about the Sabbath and how the Sabbath is specifically mentioned as being a part of holiness and holy conduct. Exodus 31, verses 14 to 15. And if anybody out there in GoToMeetingland didn't get a copy of this handout, just send me an email, wdavis.jag@gmail.com. Exodus 31, verses 14 and 15 says, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Holy means set apart. It's set apart to God. It's not like the world. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days. Actually, it should be translated work may be done for 6 days. But then we go into the commandment. But the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. It is holy to us. It's holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Then to Psalm 93, verse 5. The two tablets upon which God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger are called in our scriptures the tablets of the testimony. They're called the tablets of the testimony because everybody heard those with their own ears. And they then asked the Lord to speak the rest to Moses. Let him tell us the rest, and we'll know it came from you because we heard these with our own ears and we are terrified. Psalm 93, verse 5. Are we there? Your testimonies are very sure. What are the testimonies? These are the commandments. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, for how long? Forever. Do you want to live in the presence of the Lord? Do you want to be part of his court? I do too. Holiness adorns his house. Deuteronomy 28:9. Deuteronomy 28:9 tells us how we can become a holy people, a people holy to the Lord. Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. What's that next little word? If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So if you don't keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, would he still describe you as holy? The answer is no. That's why I titled point number one, keep the Lord's commandments. We have one more from Romans before we do 2 Peter. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. Remember, Romans is the book that most Christians cite as saying the law has been abolished. We're not supposed to follow the commandments. This is from Romans 7, verse 9. Quote, therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Is there anything in that sentence that makes you think, but not for us to do? And you're all looking at me like, nope. Therefore the law, the Torah, is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, is a warning to believers, specifically to believers, not to the unbelieving world.
Brother Wayne?
Yes, ma'am.
When I looked in Romans 7, 9, and that's not the verse, I think it's Romans 7, 12. Yeah. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good.
Did I get the citation wrong?
I think it's
7. Yeah, it's 7:12, not 7:9. You're absolutely correct. Everybody just fix your handout. It is 7:12. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. And keep a finger in 2 Peter. To go back to Psalm 119, verse 142, because it really goes right with Romans chapter 7, verse 12.
I'm sorry, where are we
going? To Psalm 119, verse 142. Just as an aside, because I can't read Romans 7, 12. God bless you, dear, without thinking about. God bless you. Psalm 119, verse 142. It says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. What does that mean? It means it never changes. It says, and your law, your Torah, is truth. God bless you. So we saw all these verses that relate the keeping of the commandments to holiness. And holiness and righteousness, we're going to find, are like a hand and a glove. You can't separate the two. And God's righteousness never changes. It's everlasting. And the Torah is simply truth. God bless you. Have you made it to 2 Peter chapter 2, or have I distracted you too much? How is it I always get a typo? I guess to keep me humble. 2 Peter 2, verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. You can tell from this one verse that the way of righteousness is to walk in the commandments. And Peter says it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness in the first place than having known it to turn away from the holy commandments delivered to them. But what did they do in the fourth century? They did away with Shabbat, with the feasts and festivals, with the clean and unclean foods. Why did they do that? Do you remember? Turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Constantine was not a believer in the true and living God. His religion was Mithraism, the worship of the invincible sun. He was pagan. In Daniel 7:25, we read the characteristics of the false Messiah. Constantine was not the false Messiah, but he was a false Messiah. Daniel 7:25, he, that's the false Messiah, the Antichrist, or the beast of Revelation 13, take your pick. The power behind him is Satan. Shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to, meaning try to, change the times, which are the feasts and festivals, the Shabbat, etc., and the law, the Torah, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. So that's what Satan has always wanted to do, was to get people to stop obeying God and to turn and look to him instead. Where's the very first example where Satan tries to get somebody to reject God's commandment and follow him instead? The Garden of Eden. How many people were there in the world? Two. Has he ever let up since then? The answer is no. So go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because the false Messiah, Antichrist, or beast of Revelation chapter 13 has not yet been revealed in our day. But go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So we didn't have to wait for the false Messiah to get revealed in the day of the Lord in the tribulation period. The mystery of lawlessness, Satan trying to get people to stop following God's commandments, statutes, and judgments has been since the time of the Garden of Eden. And when will it end? When he's cast into the lake of fire at the end of these 7,000 years of mankind, at the end of the millennial kingdom. Okay, that was point number one. Point number two under holiness. We must avoid uncleanness. Now, there's many kinds of uncleanness. A woman is unclean after she has a baby. That's not the kind of uncleanness that the Bible is saying will keep you out of heaven. We're talking about things like unclean foods. So Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. Am I really saying that if we eat all kinds of unclean things, that's bad? Yes. Yeah. Somebody sent a message and said, did I see in the news how they started transplanting pig organs into people? Yep, yep. They've been planning things like pig valves and things, but now they're taking whole organs and saying we're all just pigs anyway. Okay. Deuteronomy 23, verse 14. Are we there? For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp. This is back at the time of the wilderness wanderings, where God literally was in the center of the 12 camps of the tribes of Israel to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy. You know what therefore means? Because of this. Because God is going to be in your midst, your camp shall be holy, or must be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. So what if the children of Israel camped in the wilderness with the mixed multitude, had a bunch of pigs in the middle of the camp? God would have said, bye-bye, you're on your own. It literally says that God would turn away from them. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What does the Apostle Paul say about our bodies? Since we want the Holy Spirit to come dwell in our bodies, in 2 Corinthians 6:16 it says, and what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you, that is your body, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What's our topic tonight? Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Does Paul here say that avoiding the unclean foods is part of holiness? He does in no uncertain terms. Is that why in the 4th century in Rome, Rome said, if you won't eat pigs, then you'll be anathema, you'll burn in hell for all eternity? Because it's just the opposite of what God said. Romans 6:19. Romans 6:19. And when we're all done, I think I'll send out another set of notes. Romans 6:19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members, meaning the parts of your body, as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So what about uncleanness? Is uncleanness part of righteousness or lawlessness? It's part of lawlessness. Then do we want it in the life of a believer? We do not. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. We just read it, but I want to reemphasize it. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What does the fear of God mean? It means in obedience to his commandments, right? Can we perfect holiness in the fear of God while walking in lawlessness and uncleanness? Well, let's add 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Did God call us to uncleanness? No. But in holiness, which means what? They're opposites. Uncleanness is separate and apart from holiness. Point three. Scripture says, be without blame. What is that Hebrew word that keeps coming up? Tamim. Without spot or blemish. That's what it means to be without blame. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Why do we keep God's commandments? Is it to earn salvation? No, that's not possible. It's because we love him. Where did God say, if you love me, keep my commandments? John 14, 15. That'd be a good website, wouldn't it? Okay. Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1. I'll give you a chance to find it. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What did the sacrifices have to be? They had to be tamim, without spot or blemish. They had to be without blame. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones. I've been called hard-headed before. Are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through our Messiah Yeshua. A holy priesthood means separated unto God, having nothing to do with the pagan idols, the sins of this world, to be without blame, without blemish, without spot, to be, in a word, tamim. Fourth point is that we need to imitate the holiness of the Lord. We can never be spotless, sinless, and perfect from birth like Messiah was. But when we come to faith and grow to spiritual maturity, that should be our goal, is to imitate him. Shame the scripture didn't say that. Oh, maybe it did. Okay. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 13 to 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. As obedient children. What is that word obedient? What's that mean? Obedient children follow the commandments of the Father, don't they? Not conforming yourselves to the former lust, meaning stop living like you used to before you got saved, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in what? All your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Where is it written, be holy, for I am holy? That's in the next quote, which is from Leviticus chapter 11. Let me think, what's the topic of Leviticus chapter 11? Clean and unclean foods. Tameh and Tahor. Leviticus 11, 44 to 45 says, for I am the Lord your God, You shall therefore consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. That's one of the meanings of holiness, is consecration. And you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defy yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is you want God to dwell in your heart. Don't ask God to dwell in uncleanness. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul puts it so succinctly. I love this verse. He says, imitate me as I also imitate Messiah. Is that the only place we're told to imitate Messiah? The answer is no. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Anybody know how Messiah walked? How did he live his life? Did he spend his time down at the strip joints and crack houses? No, he did not. He kept the commandments of God. How do you know? It says it over and over. Did he ever say it? In John chapter 15. Let's go to John chapter 15. We have his own words. And believe it or not, Messiah would not lie to us. John chapter 15, verse 10. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Did he keep God's commandments? Yes, he did. Would you have expected him to do anything else? No. Why? Because what was the prophecy back in Isaiah? We sang about it tonight. There shall come forth a root out of Jesse, remember? That's Isaiah chapter 7, right? Isaiah chapter 7. Wait a minute. Did I mean Isaiah chapter 7? I meant 11. There we go. 7, 11, they rhyme, but they're not the same thing. Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. That's the one. But look at verse 3. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So it's prophesied that he would be characterized by obedience to the commandments of God. Is that so he could do away with them and we wouldn't have to do them? Or so he could be an example to show us how we can walk in a way that's pleasing unto God. Of course. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Therefore, you're not there yet. Therefore, you don't know what therefore is yet. We there? 2 Peter 3:11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, meaning heaven and earth and all that is in them, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What gets burned up? That which is sinful. If that which is sinful gets burned up, what do you not want to be? You don't want to be sinful. You want to be, as Peter says, in holy conduct and godliness. And lastly, Exodus chapter 15. We sing it at the start of the songbook every time we get back to the start. The song called Mika Moka Ba'eli Madonai, who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? That's from Exodus 15:11, which says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? He's glorious in what? Holiness. If we are to imitate Messiah, and Messiah is characterized by not just holiness, but glorious in holiness, we should do our best to avoid sin, shouldn't we? It hasn't been too long since I was told by somebody that we as human beings, we sin every moment of every day. Have you ever heard that? Is it true, though? If it is, don't look forward to Judgment Day. The next point, number 5. Holiness is required to be part of the resurrection to eternal life. What? Well, that sounds all like Hebrews 12:14, without which no one will see the Lord. So I guess it makes sense. But let's see. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection to eternal life. What does Revelation say you need to be in order to be part in the first resurrection? It says, blessed and holy. Yeah. So the topic tonight is holiness. It goes on to say, over such, that is those who are holy, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Messiah and shall reign with him 1,000 years. But there's that word holy. What if I don't want to be holy? What if I want to walk in the sins of the world and God will just take me anyway? Where's that verse in the Bible?
It's in a lot of pulpits, but it's not in the Bible.
Maybe in a lot of pulpits, but it's not in the Bible. It's right there with the verse that says, now go ye and sin some more. Nowhere. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, that is when you got saved, baptized, you got saved and you're dead to sin, you've been set free from sin, says that having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. It doesn't just say you have your fruit to everlasting life, does it? It says you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. What if holiness is missing? That's not a good thing. Point 6. Holiness is beautiful in God's eyes. Would you like to please God or displease God? Let me think. I think I like to please God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Let me give you a chance to find it. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. 1 Chronicles 16, 29. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In the beauty of holiness. In Isaiah chapter 1, why does God bring such a scathing accusation against Israel? Aren't they coming up to bring lambs to the temple? They are, but they're not repenting. They're sacrificing their children on the way up. And they figure if they throw God a lamb now and then they're square. They can live in sin. Does that work? Let me read again. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Well, that's Old Testament, Wayne. Yeah, okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. That's not. That's in the New Testament. Written by Paul. Ephesians 5:27. Let me give you a moment to find it. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, ecclesia, called out assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. What is God looking for those who call upon his name? That she should be holy and without blemish. Colossians 3, verse 12. God's elect are both holy and beloved. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Would you like to be the elect of God? He says they're characterized by holiness. Point 7, the final point. Because 7 is the number of completion, right? Okay, so this has got to be the last point. Holiness and righteousness are inseparable. Like a hand and a glove. Can't have one without the other. What's that old show? Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. You can't have one without the other. Holiness and righteousness are inseparable. Go to Luke chapter 1. Which is about the birth of Messiah. Verses 74 to 75. Luke chapter 1. Verses 74 to 75. Luke chapter 1. Verses 74 to 75. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Holiness and righteousness go together, inseparable. In Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24. The last point under point 7, so I guess the last sub-point. I'm going to read all 17 through 24. This is the Apostle Paul writing to believers out of the Gentile world who are wrestling with the question of how do we live now that we've gotten saved? Can we just go back to our old life? It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in a futility, meaning the perverseness of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Messiah. If, indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Yeshua, and that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, those two terms. They're in the opposite order that they were in Luke 1, but they're still right together, inseparable. Luke 1 said holiness and righteousness. Ephesians says righteousness and holiness. So we said at the beginning, holiness is consecration or purification, being set apart to God. Another way to describe that process is sanctification. So let's look at a few verses on sanctification. Sanctification means cleaning the sin out of your lives, putting off that old man and embracing the ways of Messiah. In John chapter 17, verse 17, we see Messiah's words. So let's look at John 17, 17. I like Messiah's words. I trust them. He's praying to God and says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And that reminds us of Psalm 119, verse 142, where Torah is described as truth. Are those inconsistent? No. Two ways of saying the same thing. Because the Torah is the word of God. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. And I didn't send this out, so yeah, you're flipping pages. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Says, husbands, love your wives, as Messiah also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So what does Ephesians 5 say the process is for sanctifying ourselves such that we can be holy and without blemish? Cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Your word is truth, John 17, 17. So as we study the commandments, statutes, and judgments, we learn what God wants us to do and what he forbids us from doing. What if we never study those scriptures? We never look to see what God wants us to do. I know many people who say, I don't need to read the Bible. The Holy Spirit tells me what I can do. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. There's that word blameless again. At the coming of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah. How does God sanctify us? He teaches us. Do this. Don't do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're almost done with this introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 30 and 31. But of him that is of God, you are in Messiah Yeshua, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, him who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Meaning, as we clean sin out of our life, we don't make that a point of pride. Hey, I'm better than you are. That's not it at all. It is God who gives us the instructions. It's God who gives us the teaching. If we apply it to our lives, it's because we love him, because we have faith in him, because we honor him, because our glory is in him, not in us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 6. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Yeshua that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Yeshua. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. That's a lot, but the important points in here. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. God wants you to clean the sin out of your lives. In the sentence before, you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Yeshua. The commandments were taught by the apostles to the Gentile world, which had never heard them. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about sexual immorality and about keeping the Passover and how to do it correctly. The apostles, as they went around, they didn't just preach Messiah, death, burial, and resurrection and then baptism and then go away and say, okay, now you're fine, you're done. That's not the end of the journey. That's the beginning of the journey. They taught them the commandments. And he says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. And then starts going through and saying, now follow the commandments. And of course, 1 Thessalonians is the first letter written by Paul. So right from the very beginning, it was observe the commandments, engage in sanctification, put away sexual immorality and the sins of the world. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul's response to their response to his letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining the glory of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. He says, for salvation through sanctification. Another way to put that is, Acts chapter 2 says, repent. Right? Let's go look at Acts chapter 2. The very first preaching that the apostles do is Peter in Acts chapter 2. God bless you. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is another term for sanctification. As you repent of your sin, that means you turn away from it, you put it aside, you don't do that anymore. That's the process of sanctification, removing sin from the life. What do you do if you find you're still committing a sin and you didn't know it was a sin? You repent of it. You turn away from it. And you do better next time. Let's add one last reference here, and that's Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 9. And having been perfected, that means spiritually mature, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Is that what it says? He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. What if we say, I don't got to obey nobody? It's my body, my choice. We can do that. And then come judgment day, what do we hear? I never knew you. Is that what you want to hear on judgment day? Mm-mm, not me either.